Part 1. Ireland. Chapter 1. It was a perfect early summer day in the year 1555. Inisfarna Island, its great green cliffs tumbling into the deep and sparkling blue sea, shone clear at the mouth of O'Malley Bay. English weather, the Irish inhabitants of the region called it, and it was nearly the only English thing they approved of. There was a slight breeze, and in the skies above the island, the gulls and terns soared and swooped, their eerie screes the only counterpoint to the breaking surf. Standing tall against the horizon was O'Malley Castle, a typical tower house of dark grey stone. Rising several stories high, it commanded a view of the sea from all its windows. It had a wide moat, and beyond that moat was, of all things, a rose garden, planted by the late Lady O'Malley. After her death, now 4 years past, the new Lady O'Malley kept the garden up. Now in full bloom, it was a riot of yellows, pinks, reds and whites, a perfect background for the wedding of the youngest daughter. Inside the tower house in the main hall, the 5 older daughters of the O'Malley family sat, happily gossiping with their pretty stepmother, while they sewed and embroidered the bride's trousseau. It had been a long time since they had all been together. Now each had her own home, and they all met only on special occasions. They were as similar now as they had been as children. Medium tall, they all ran to Partridge Plump. It was the kind of comfortable figure that kept a man warm on a cold night. Each was fair-skinned, with soft peach-coloured cheeks, serious grey eyes, and long, straight, light brown hair. None was beautiful, but none was ugly either. The eldest, Moira, was 25 and had been married for 12 years. She was mother to 9 living children, 7 sons. Moira stood high in her father's favour. Peggy, at 23, had been married 10 years and was mother to 9 sons. Peggy stood even higher in her father's favour. Bride, 21, had been married 8 years and had only 4 children, 2 of whom were boys. Dovdara tolerated Bride and constantly exhorted her to greater productivity.
"You're more like your mother than the others," he would say ominously.
Eileen, 18, was the only one with a religious calling. She had been such a quiet little thing that they hadn't even suspected her piety until the boy to whom she was to be wed succumbed to an attack of measles the year Eileen was 12. As O'Malley considered a possible replacement bridegroom for his 4th daughter, Eileen begged to be allowed to enter a convent. She genuinely desired that life. Because her uncle Seamus, now Bishop of Murrisk, was present for the talk, Dovdara O'Malley was forced to give his consent. Eileen entered her convent at 13 and had just recently taken final vows. Shin O'Malley Butler was 16, wed 3 years, and the mother of 1 boy. She was 8 months pregnant, but she would not have missed Skye's wedding. The married sisters were dressed in simply cut, full-skirted silk dresses with bell sleeves and low, scooped necklines. Moira was in a deep, rich blue, Peggy in scarlet, Bride in violet, and Sheen in golden yellow. The lacy frill of their chemises peaked elegantly up through the low bodices. Eileen struck the only sombre note. Her all-covering black linen gown was relieved only by a severe, white, starched rectangular bib in which was centred an ebony silver-banded crucifix. About her waist, the nun wore a twisted silk rope, also black, which hung in 2 plaits to the hem of her gown. 1 plait, knotted into 3 knots, symbolised the Trinity. The other, knotted in the same manner, symbolised the estates of poverty, chastity and obedience. By way of vivid contrast, her sisters wore chains of wrought gold or silver about their waists, and each woman had attached to her chain a rosary, a needle case, a mirror, or simply a set of household keys. Because this was an informal home gathering, the married sisters wore their hair loose, parted in the centre. Sheen and Peggy had added pretty arched linen caps. And, of course, Eileen, whose hair had been cut when she took her vows, wore starched and pleated white wings over her white wimple. Presiding over this gathering...